Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to Connecting Faith over your lunch hour. Thanks so much for joining us. My name is Joe Rathmanner, and I'm in for Neil this week. And I'm very excited I'm in this week because I get to talk to author Shanti Feldhahn. And she has a very personal project that she's going to talk to us about. And I will get to that in just a minute. Have you ever kind of thought about what is the secret to living a satisfied life? Is it a happy marriage? Is it great kids? Is it a fulfilling job? Or is it all of those things, maybe at the same time? Well, here in the 21st century, the question of that women ask, they've asked me, I've asked it myself, and the question is, can you have it all? It's still a topic of conversation here in this century. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, an airplane-hopping executive, a student, a senior adult, most women seem to ask this question at some time of their life. So our guest today believes that the answer to that question lies in the need for a contemporary, encouraging vision of what it means to be a godly, biblically guided female. Wow, I want the answer to that question. A biblical woman who takes God's word seriously, and not just at church, but in everyday life. So can a significant and satisfying 21st century womanhood really be defined from Scripture? What do you think, Ryan?
I'll bet it can. I will bet it can.
Are you going to put your money on that for today?
I'm going to listen very carefully and prepare to be infiltrated with wisdom, Joe.
All right. Well, it seems like a question we would all say yes to, and yet I've heard that question asked several times. Oh, come on. Can that be relevant for today? And I'd like to find out myself. So we're going to hear what Shanti Feldhahn has to say about it, but let me first tell you a little bit about her. Shanti is a wife and mom first, as well as a popular speaker, social researcher, and best-selling author. After receiving a graduate degree from Harvard, Shanti started out on Wall Street, but now applies her gifts of analytical experience in a totally different way. She's the author of several groundbreaking books, including For Women Only, What You Need to Know About the Inner Lives of Men. And not to be outdone, she also wrote For Men Only, A Straightforward Guide to the Inner Lives of Women, both of which have sold more than 2 million copies in 22 languages. So is this a relevant topic? You bet it is. She also wrote Made to Crave for Young Women, co-authored with Lisa Turkhurst, and if you want to learn more about her, you can go to her website at shanti.com. Welcome, Shanti.
It's good to be with you guys.
It is great to have you. I love this subject. It seems to be, you know, things we talk about as women in the coffee shop. I seem to talk to it with my students. It's just all over the place. So I'd love to get some wisdom on this subject, and I bet a lot of other people will too.
Well, I'm really grateful to have a chance to talk about it with you guys because I don't know about you, but, you know, I was telling you before you went on, I'm guinea pig number one for this subject of how on earth do you balance your life, but not like according to how the culture says you should do it, but according to how the Bible says.
You just hire more people, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, honestly, one of the solutions that the culture comes up with is you work more and you ignore your family. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the priorities that tend to come up. And if you don't make that a priority, often you're not really given much guidance as to how you do this. And because I'm a Christian and because I'm out there in the world, I'm doing corporate speaking a lot, I'm speaking in a lot of churches, and I'm always on and off of airplanes. But I have a husband, I have two kids who are 10 and 13 who need mom. And so I have all of these demands on my time, and I wanted to know whether the Bible said something about this that would be helpful to me. So that's really where this project came from.
Well, the book that we're talking about is called The Life Ready Woman, Thriving in a Do-It-All World. And like Shanti was saying, this was birthed out of a very personal experience and just her own life. And I'm guessing that other people may have had some of these experiences as well. It looks like as I read about you, Shanti, and about what you've written, To say the least, it looks like you are quite an analytical. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah, actually, that's my background, not just sort of my personality, but...
That's your education. That's your
education.
Experience. Mm-hmm. That's many, many years of your life. So how did you use that skill and that talent and that experience to come up with this book of helping women to understand who they are?
Well, really, honestly, what I did was tried to figure out, okay, biblically, is there going to be an answer? It's what you guys were just talking about. Does the Bible even speak to this? Right?
Right.
And sort of approaching it from the very beginning. And analytically, you know, it doesn't make sense. If the Bible is true, God would not have given us a word from him that would gradually become obsolete just because the culture changed.
Sure.
And, you know, just because modern women have a very different life than what things looked like 2,000 years ago. And so analytically, if there's an answer to that, to me, there would be an answer to that, and I wanted to find it. And interestingly, I went all the way back to the beginning in Genesis and started digging out the stuff that God told us were sort of the absolutes, kind of our job description. And what I realized is that, and again, it's so funny you brought out that I'm an analyst, because I felt kind of felt very logical approaching it this way rather than emotional, but realized truly that so much of the angst that we have as modern women comes because we're operating in a way that we weren't designed to operate. And same thing for men. It's just that the life for any woman is for women. But that to me was a huge revelation. And I started digging into, okay, what exactly does the Bible say about it? So yes, that analytical skill did, I think, come into play.
Well, obviously, the way that you use that skill is to help you gain truth in a way that makes sense for you, correct?
Yes, yes. And let me tell you, sort of getting down to the bottom line, here's really what I realized is, you know, it makes sense that anything that's been created, you know, I mean, like, look at the stuff on your desk or, you know, your car or whatever, anything that's been created has a purpose behind why it was created and a way it's supposed to work and not supposed to work. You know, if you try to dunk your cell phone into a bucket of water, it's not going to work, right? It wasn't designed for that. And that's basically what I realized we've been doing with so much of our lives as modern women, is we're trying to force our lives to work in a way that God didn't design them. And I mean, we're a created thing just like anything else, and he has a purpose behind our creation, and he has a way he's designed us to work and not designed to work. And so much of our stress comes because we're literally trying to do the equivalent of taking our cell phone and dunking it in about a bucket of water. We're not designed to do a ton of things that we are trying to force ourselves to do. Like, for example, we've kind of bought into this idea that you can have it all at the same time. And we're not designed for that. We're designed to live according to various seasons of life that really come up in our lives, depending on where we are in marriage or having children or whether the children are out of the home. I mean, there's just some things every parent knows you can do after the kids are, you know, grown a little bit that you just can't do as easily when they're a little bitty. And it's that concept of living according to our design, figuring out what that is, figuring out, okay, God, how did you design us, and living according to it, that what I found, it changes the dynamic dramatically and gives us so much more of that thriving life we're looking for.
So it looks like your book is divided into two sections. So what can readers expect to find when they're reading the pages of The Life Ready Woman?
Well, really, truly, there's two different things. Some are sort of more big picture, sort of what's God's purposes for me as a woman? What does it mean, really, to be a woman or to be a man? What are those callings look like? You know, God created us as men and women, and presumably there's a purpose behind that. So what does that look like? And then the second section of the book is really, okay, what does this look like for me? You know, theologically, great. All of that's good, but ultimately, help. what do I do differently? And so I actually wrote this book with Robert Lewis, who a lot of people know him as the creator of Men's Fraternity, or books like Raising a Modern Day Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been very, very invested for years and years. He's really a wonderful Christian leader, sort of a grandfather of the Christian community. And he, in men's fraternity and some of these books for men, had been digging out, what does it mean to be a man? And, you know, and really calling men into manhood. He was very instrumental, for example, in the advent of the movie Courageous and some of those things about reaching out to men and the growth of the men's movement. And so he was working with me as I was doing this on, okay, what does it mean to be a biblically guided woman? You know, he had done the men's side, but he knew it, he knew this book. It couldn't be him writing a book for men, for women, you know, about what does it mean to be a balancing life as a modern woman. And so I worked with him really thoroughly on making sure as I was digging into the scriptural background, you know, and some of the deep theological questions, that I had him beside me every step of the way, because he has truly been someone who I can trust biblically for years and years and years. And then me taking it and, okay, how does this look like in my life or in the life of anybody reading the book? How do you get to God's best for you?
Well, we're talking to Shanti Feldon today about becoming a life-ready woman. What does that mean? We've also been talking just about what the Bible has to say. What's the biblical definition of womanhood, marriage, and family? And I'm going to ask her about those questions when we come back in just a bit. If you want to join in on this conversation, or you think, hey, that is a book that I need, or my wife needs, or my friend needs, give us a call. We have some copies to give away. 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Back in a minute.
Jesus addressed the religious leader Pharisees in John 8:14. I know where I came from and I know where I am going. Knowing who you are in Jesus is so vital to your confidence and the freedom to be you. Our identity is grounded in who and what we choose to identify with. If we identify with people and what they say about us, we will end up in trouble. But if we identify with Jesus and his opinion of us, we will not have an identity crisis. I once was in a disagreement with someone who chose to personally attack me, and rather than argue back, I simply said, I don't identify with that. That's not who God says I am. There are some religious organizations who spend a lot of time telling people what they need to do and not enough time telling them who they are in Christ. It all comes down to letting God be God and being able to say, I am the righteousness of God because of what he did for me. I am in right standing with him because I know who I am in him every day. For more encouragement, visit DebbieGriffith.com.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. My name is Joe Rathmanner. I'm in for Neil this week, and we are talking to author, speaker, Shanti Feldon, and she has written a book called Life Ready Woman, Thriving in a Do-It-All World. And in it, she helps readers take five faith steps drawn from the Bible that will help to define the best life possible. And one of those steps is to look at what the Bible has to say about biblical womanhood, about marriage, and about family. And Shanti, I don't want to give too much of your book away or too much of your research, but can you give us a glimpse into what you found here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, we can give all of it away.
All right.
Great. No, listen, I am a big one for let's get practical. You know, let's take what the Bible says and figure out how to apply it. And so figuring out what the Bible actually says and some of the things that came so strongly to me as I was looking at what the Word says about men and women and some of the things we have to know first, is realizing, remember how I went back to where I said, you know, look at our design and how God's designed us. And I realized there's actually really three different pieces that make up every person's design. And biblically, we have to live in accordance with each of those three pieces. So let's get big picture here, and then we can narrow it down.
Okay.
Big picture, everybody, man and woman, are supposed to live according to, we call them the core callings. It's basically what God told Adam and Eve at the beginning of time, you know, when he first sort of created men and women. One of the things I had never seen before is he actually calls Adam and Eve to himself, and he kind of does that sort of father blessing and says, here's your job description, go and do this. And those core callings really are, there's three of them for men and women, not just women, both, to leave and cleave. So if you're called to marriage, to leave father and mother and cleave to a spouse in this super bond called marriage. And if you're called to that, that's so important. And then secondly, God says, be fruitful and multiply. And that's not just, you know, have kids, but that's really be a part of, truly invest in advancing the next generation. And then third thing, he says, subdue and rule. And that's, you know, advance God's kingdom purposes. That's not just go out and get a job, you know, it's advance whatever it is that you're called to do out there in the world. Advance his kingdom purposes in ways that are unique to your gifting. And everybody is called to do that. And if this is truly what God's main job description, the starting point for Adam and Eve and for all of us, if that really is, then what it means is if we really don't focus on doing all three of those things and doing them in the way that he's asked us, at some point we're going to look back and have regrets. And this is why you get so many people who, let's just say they poured themselves into their careers, and you know they had subdue and rule down pat, right? They're out there doing all this stuff, but they really didn't pay attention to their kids. They didn't pour into the next generation. They missed that part of their life, and they get down the road and have regrets because they weren't designed to miss that. God didn't want them to miss that, and so God doesn't want us to have those regrets. And so those three core callings we first have to look at. And everything else has to fit around them. And then the second thing, we narrow it a little bit. Everybody has those, but then we narrow it to either feminine callings or masculine callings. He's made you a woman, not a man. What does that mean? You know, what does that look like? How are you supposed to live in accordance with that? There's certain things in marriage that leads to that are really, really critical that we can talk about if you want to. And then individually, it narrows down into an even finer point, which is, okay, what are our personal callings? You know, not just core, not just feminine, but what's a personal calling? What is God's design for me? What's my passions and what's my skills and what's my talents? And taking the core callings and those three things we're supposed to focus on, and then the feminine callings and narrowing it down to how has God designed you, if you find that point, that is where you're going to get to God's best for you. And the beautiful thing about this is that it doesn't put us in a box. It means that this is what the whole Life Ready Woman Bible study is about, is figuring out what is God's best place for you, because the answer for you is going to be very different from the woman sitting next to you. And that's why sometimes, oh, women should do this or women should always do that. That's why sometimes I think something in our spirits kind of goes, that just doesn't feel quite right sometimes. And it's not because we don't have feminine callings, we do, but it doesn't take us down to that final level of how has God designed me and how has God designed you? And let's find that, and that's where we're going to thrive.
It sounds like while we do have core callings, that it's not really a one-size-fits-all process that you're advocating for any woman. I'm getting a couple of calls in here that are asking specifically, what does the Bible say about women working outside the home? And it sounds to me like you're saying it's not an absolute for absolutely everyone, but has more to do with seasons as long as you're following God's core callings. Is that true, or can you expand on that?
Well, listen, Robert and I, and I trust Robert so much from a biblical standpoint, because he was always willing to tell me, you know, Shanti, you're trying to read something into the Bible that isn't there, you know, and so I really trust him on that. And we spent, as people who really truly believe in the inerrant Word of God, we spent a lot of time looking, what does the Bible say about women working? If there is an answer that I don't want to hear, I want to know it. You know, I want to know what God actually says. And the thing that was interesting is there is no scripture that talks about that women shouldn't work outside the home. And there actually are plenty of scriptures that imply that sometimes women do have that calling. The key is not should you not work? And that's a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. The key is, how has God designed you? What's he called you to do? What's your season of life? And most importantly, go all the way back up to those core callings. Whatever it is that you're doing, are you able to achieve and really live out those three non-negotiables? Because if you're not, then something's wrong. because those are where everything else has to fit around. And so for me, for example, I'm always on an airplane. I'm always out there speaking. I know God has done miraculous things in this ministry. I know that what I'm doing is helping to save marriages. And this is something that God has called me to. But I also know I have a core calling to be fruitful and multiply. I have children at home. This is my primary season of life, to be a mom and to pour into them. I've got a husband who needs me as well. This is an incredibly important time for me to be leaving and cleaving, right? And to be really pouring into my marriage and not ignoring him. And so I have to be so careful to always look at how am I doing, not just on subdue and rule, but how am I doing on those other two? And this is my season of life, especially to be fruitful and multiply. And so I turn down speaking engagements. There's choices that I make that, you know, in other ways, you know, I might kind of get my back up and say, well, I shouldn't have to turn down that speaking engagement. They're going to pay me a lot of money, you know, to go do this big corporate hoo-ha or whatever. But this is my season of life, to make sure that I'm able to be a mom to my kids. And so that's really the answer, I think, that the Bible has for women, is truly, what is it that you're called to do? What season of life? And make sure that you are able to live those core callings.
In your book, you write that understanding this view, understanding this biblical view of womanhood, is really not about putting people in a box, but really helps women to embrace God's calling, to choose wisely, to live courageously with those choices, and just to expect God's greater reward. Can you expand on that or give us an example from your own life?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, really, it all comes down to the fact that we have tons of choices we didn't used to have. I mean, if you think about it, the whole reason we're having this conversation is that women didn't used to have the choices that we have today. I mean, we used to really have a pretty prescribed life. You know, you'd get married at the age of 16 or whatever. You'd have a baby a year later, and you'd work the farm with your husband for the rest of your life. And that was kind of it. You didn't really have these choices. Today, you have every conceivable choice, which is not a bad thing. It's wonderful that women have the opportunity to use their gifts. And so that, to me, is a starting point. It's just we haven't learned how to make these choices because we never used to need to. And so how do I look at all the opportunities that I have as a modern woman and go, holy cow, how do I make sure that I'm doing what God has called me to do? And that's where it comes back. What are those core callings? What are my feminine callings? What are my individual callings and design? And live according to that. And you know what? Let me go back, for example, to the idea of should women work outside the home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up until about 70 years ago, that question would have made people go, what? And still in most of the world, people would listen to that question and go, what? Because in every culture around the world, women were working alongside their husbands in the fields or whatever, you know, with a baby strapped to the back.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole idea of women working outside the home is such a modern American suburban question. Just for most of human history, it would be puzzling to people of what on earth that means. And so realize the Bible applies to all women on a farm in Nigeria, you know, 1,000 years ago, just like it does in modern suburban America today. And so that's one thing that we have to make sure we don't get so into evangelical culture, which I certainly am, you know, definitely in kind of the evangelical bubble sometimes, but we have to make sure we don't get so into the culture of the church that we miss the biblical truth of what God has called men and women to.
I often have conversations with students who are just overwhelmed at the decisions and the choices that they can make. And yes, there are a plethora of choices that we can make. Thank goodness. I mean, thank goodness for the opportunities for women. Thank goodness for the opportunities available to men, especially young people. But I've kind of found in my career that it doesn't have to be this once and forever choice, that you make a choice and you are stuck with that thing that you are going to do, that is what's going to be yours forever. That career, do I work full-time, part-time? Do I get married? Do I have kids? Do I buy a house? But that it's just a choice to continually commit yourself to the Lord. And that if you are continually submitting and committing your life to the Lord, then he is going to give you that next step and then the next step. And if you have to change directions, he's going to give you that step too. But it is
great wisdom. Yep.
It is overwhelming. I mean, just to know I have so many choices available to me. So to have that great grounding, love that. Love that, Shanti.
Well, we just have never learned how to make those choices. Yeah. So that's really what the whole book is about, right? It's really that guidance. And I was the first one needing to be guinea pig on how does this work?
Right. Well, I think other people have probably been in that spot before. Maybe you have. You're listening and say, I have definitely been there. I have a question about being overcommitted. I'm going to ask when we come back from the break. If you are feeling like you'd love to ask Shanti a question about her research or about what she had to say about biblical womanhood and what we should do with our three core callings, please give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Or if you do not want to be on the radio, but you have a question burning, log on to myfaithradio.com, click on the show Connecting Faith, and you will be able to submit your question there. It's very easy to do. We can read that question on the air. We still have a couple of copies of Shanti's book up, and that book is called The Life Ready Woman and Thinking, Thriving in a Do-It-All World. I need my glasses on so I can read better. That really would help, Shanti. Sorry about that. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. We are having a great conversation today with Shanti Feldhahn. She's written a book called The Life Ready Woman, Thriving in a Do-It-All World. And we've just been talking about all the choices that women have available to them today, which is just amazing. Our mothers, our grandmothers would be so happy to hear that we're talking about this plethora of choices that we have. But sometimes it can get a little bit overwhelming. So how can we ground ourselves in God's word and who he's made us to be and still be able to make wise choices for us, for our families, and for our futures? Shanti, welcome back. Thanks for staying with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had a call over the break from Betsy, and she asked, how do I bring balance to my life? I work full time, I volunteer a lot, and it seems like I struggle to have enough time for my family. Do you have any advice? I bet you've heard that before.
But you may not want to hear it. See, this is what I said at the beginning. Our problem as modern women is that we're trying to have it all. And we're trying to, and you may not think of it as trying to have it all, and that's fine, but you're trying to do it all. And so that's one of those things that we realize, you know what, we are not designed to live that way. And I was doing a speaking engagement on this, and I was doing a women's, you know, conference and talking about this subject. And this one young woman comes up to me with a very similar question to Betsy's. And, you know, she's like practically in tears. And she says, look, I'm married. I have two little kids that are both, you know, under the age of six. And I work full time, and I'm on this track at work where I've got all these new responsibilities. I've got all these great opportunities, and I'm volunteering a lot at my church, and I just don't know what to do. And I said, honey, and I see I'm 46 now, so I'm allowed to say honey to a younger woman. I said, honey, you're trying to have it all, and she's like, no, I'm not really. It just, you know, she goes on. I'm like, no, really, you are. You're trying to have it all and do it all and be it all at the same time. And the beautiful thing about the way that God has designed us is that we are forced to make choices, because if we don't make choices, something's going to suffer. And it may be that it's your family that suffers, or your kids, or it may be you, like your body suffers, right? Or it may be your job, because you're trying to do everything and you're not doing nothing right. You're not doing anything well. And so because we're not designed to try to do it all at the same time, we do have to realize that we do live in seasons, and that it is really, really critical for us to make the choices that are important for our season and the reality that God has called us to in our marriage, for example. Like, for example, for me, and then I'll give Betsy sort of the bottom line that I would suggest that she at least pray about, which is, for me, my husband, because of something that happened in his business — he's an attorney by training, but he's an entrepreneur — and about 10 years ago, he had a big business with 50 people, and he was always very busy and traveling and whatever. And about 10 years ago, because of the tech crash and everything that happened in 9/11, he had to shut down his business, and he's been working from home ever since and starting up a couple of other businesses. At the same time that my speaking invitations started to take off because of my books. Now, if he was still that busy and I was this busy, do you think our kids would ever see mom and dad?
Mm-mm.
No, they wouldn't. And so during this period where I've been so busy speaking, he has been able to ramp down some things in his business that allow him to make choices where he can go get the kids at 3 o'clock when they're done with school. And then when I'm at home, he can go do his stuff. And it's a very mutual thing. But if both of us were both that busy, there's no way that I would be able to do what I'm doing or that he would be able to do what he's doing. And so those are some choices that we've realized that we've made. He decided not to go back into the big law firm life because we knew that that would mean I couldn't do any of these speaking engagements. And so those are, you know, kind of mutual callings as a family. And that's an example of you can't have it all at the same time. And you have to live according to your season of life so that the kids know that they are cared for, they're loved, they always have mom or dad around. And I think kids need both. We give lip service to that, but it is absolutely true. It is just as unbalanced and just as unbiblical to have a dad that works 80 or 100-hour weeks and have a stay-at-home mom where the mom is fully invested, but the dad never sees the kids. That's just as unbalanced in many ways. And so we really do have to make choices as a family. And I would suggest for her that, you know, for her, she's working full-time. She's very engaged by that. She also has a family, but she's also volunteering. This may be a season where maybe she has to cut down on some of the volunteering stuff. Or if that's really critical to her as a ministry, maybe she cuts down on some projects at work. But we cannot do it all at the same time. I actually had, ironically, I had two staff members who worked for me who I loved, and they were fantastic. They were great at what they did. And within 3 months of each other, after the Life Ready Woman book and the Bible study came out, they independently came to me and said, I'm going to have to quit because of your book. because they realized that what they were doing with me, working, it was engaging them. They loved it. It was subduing rule stuff outside the home. They were advancing God's kingdom. But because of certain responsibilities, their kids were suffering. And they weren't, one mom, her kids play travel ball, and they have all these fantastic opportunities, and she wasn't able to be with them at their games, and that just was not acceptable to her. And it wasn't acceptable to me either for her to give that up. And so that's what I mean. You have to make choices. So her choice in that time was, you know what, be fruitful and multiply. This is my time with my kids. And so I'm going to have to give up this job that I love, and I had to let her go with my blessing. So that's an example, choices. It's all about choices.
We have another caller calling in from Coon Rapids. Ashley has a question. Do you have a question for Shanti, Ashley?
I do, yeah.
Hey.
On a similar line, I'm wondering, I'm constantly feeling like emotionally juggling all the balls in the air of your roles of being a wife and a mom and and working. I work part-time, so I pared that down, and I volunteer for just Cub Scouts and that kind of thing, and so learning to delegate roles out, but just maybe it's guilt, I'm not sure, but just feeling like the emotional balls are always in the air and feeling like I can only concentrate on like just my biblical role as a wife now, and then all of a sudden I feel like over here, then, you know, am I giving enough to my kids, and how do I take care of myself, and, you know, what do you do emotionally with all of that?
Well, you know, it sounds like you're describing the emotional state of being a woman. I mean, there is something about the fact that the way God has wired us as women, we do, literally, even our brains are wired to be processing everything all at the same time. And don't ever apologize for that, because that is the way God designed us as women. Men are much, much more able, because of their brain wiring, to really kind of focus in on one thing at a time and not worry about the next thing in line. We as women, we don't have that. This is emotionally the way we're wired. However, the one thing that we do have to ask, and this is just what I would, you know, ask you to look at, is are you able to achieve your core callings in this season that you're in, and are you able to give at least, even if it's not as much as you think it should be in every minute of every day, are you able to truly be able to cleave with your husband? Are you able to be multiplying into your kids and to be really, at least if you're not available every single moment of the day, they know that you love them, you're present, you're there with them, not just quality time, but quantity time to the things that matter to them. Are they able to be emotionally available when they need you, that kind of stuff? And are you able to really feel like you are advancing God's kingdom in other ways in the world and being Jesus to people outside the home? And are you doing that in accordance with your season of life? And if the answer mostly to most of those things, most of the time is yes, even though you've got all these other thoughts of, oh my goodness, I'm always over here and I'm over there and emotionally I'm kind of in three different places. If the answer most of the time is yes, then, you know, just say, God, help me not have this kind of guilt because I am trying to live according to how you've designed me. And so that you have to make a distinction between really how you're doing and how you're feeling about it. Because as women, we do have those balls in the air emotionally all at the same time.
Thank you, Ashley. Another question kind of came to mind, and someone has asked it, and I actually had it on my sheet as well. Can you comment on the biblical leading of putting your kids first, putting your husband first? Is there an order? Is there a point in time in which maybe it could be dangerous to go one way or the other, whether it's job, husband, or children? How do we manage that? Because just like Ashley says, we feel an obligation and a duty to do all and do all well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, and the whole point behind what we were saying earlier is that you can't do it all well all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you may be able, sometimes the answer is going to shift a little bit depending on your season of life, right? There mm-hmm. are some things that you can do in one season and focus on a little bit differently than in others in terms of priorities. But in terms of the the firm order, it seems biblically, and this is Robert and I were, you know, we had a lot of discussions about this. It seems biblically that always the order is a pyramid with God at the top and the husband and the wife underneath sort of as a triangle. And so they're always looking not to each other, but to God first as priority. And then priority looking to each other. And then out of that comes the children. And the children, by the way, let me just turn to my research background here, because one of the studies that I did when I was writing for, you mentioned For Women Only and For Men Only, about understanding each other. Well, we also did the research for Parents Only, about understanding our kids. And I did this massive research project for about 2.5 years with thousands of teenagers and preteens and kids to understand what is in their heart that they, you know, don't necessarily know how to say, for example, what matters to them. And one of the things that was very, very common is kids felt less secure when they knew that mom and dad were making them as a child their priority. Mm. They needed to know that they weren't the one running the household. Mm. And it felt very insecure to feel like, you know, me as a 13-year-old, the household revolves around me. Now, that's different from attending to them and caring for them and prioritizing them. Yes, absolutely. But no, I think strongly it has to be God first and then the husband and wife second. Then out of that comes our attention to our children, because otherwise it's out of balance and it feels actually very insecure for the kids.
Sure.
When we attend to them first and foremost and make them our priority for everything.
We have Tom calling in, and he has a comment that's kind of related to what we've been talking about. Tom, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Hey, what's your comment for Shanti?
Well, I just was wondering if anyone else has noticed there's a trend in among modern women to not necessarily leave and cleave to their husband, but rather to put children up ahead of their spouse. Of course,
yeah.
You guys just addressed that.
We could read your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Isn't that nice? But, it's in chapter 7.
Yeah, but so many divorced women that I've come across, they boast of making their children their top priority,
yeah.
Their first priority, and I often think if they had made their husband, their marriage, their spouse, and God the highest priority, they may not have to deal with these other issues.
Yeah. Oh, Tom, you're so right. I mean, and it is so tempting, because for so many women, you get such a feeling of purpose out of being with your kids and attending to them and focusing on them. And I mean, you know, it's so critical. And it is critical. It's important. It's just it is so easy in our modern culture for what happens, and I know it happens with me. It is so easy to let it just sort of slip into making your husband the last priority because, you know, work has to get done. If you don't get it in on the deadline, you don't get paid, you get fired, you need to keep your job to pay the bills, and so that has to happen. And then you really know your kids need you, and so you really focus on, okay, I'm going to make sure I go to all the volleyball games, I'm going to be room mom, and I'm going to be this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to take them to all their practices, and, you know, and so I'm focusing on that, and, you know, you get home, and you, like, have 5 minutes with your husband before you fall into bed. And it becomes this trap because it is so easy to let the things that are the most demanding take up the most of your time. And then some of the things that are even more important get pushed to the side because you kind of think, oh, he can handle it. He knows I love him. You know, he knows we're okay. But then you start drifting and you don't make what should be your top human priority your top human priority. And you know what? He's still going to have to be there when your kids leave the nest, and you're still going to need to like each other and be best friends. And so that's one of those things that this whole book, the whole Life Ready Bible Study, the whole book, everything is about being purposeful and not just letting life take over, but instead you figuring out how to live in accordance with your design and doing it purposefully so you don't get years down the road and go, oh, shoot. You know, life just kind of happened to me. Because I will tell you, if you just let life take over, it will not miraculously end up in the right balance. You have to be purposeful about it.
Great advice about being intentional. And of course, part of that is listening to what it is that God says about being intentional. We're going to talk a little bit more about that with author Shanti Feldhahn and the Life Ready Woman, Thriving in a Do-It-All World. We're going to take a quick break, but we are answering your questions. And I'd also love to talk about what Shanti calls compass-guided living, coming up in just a minute on Connecting Faith.
This is Wayne Peterson, president of HCJB Global, with Beyond the Call.
At the age of seven, the communists expelled little David Crane and his missionary parents from China. Forced to leave their friends, even the church they had planted was converted into a manure factory. But 1 Thessalonians says, God who is faithful has a plan for you and will bring it to pass. After college and with China closed, David served the Lord for 40 years in Trinidad. That would have been enough, but as he was preparing for retirement, David heard it might be possible to get back into China. So today, at age 70, David is ministering at the manure factory, which was once again a thriving church. God can certainly turn a bad situation into an opportunity to serve. So go beyond the call.
This is Wayne Peterson. What is God asking you to do today? Make it a day that you go beyond the call. And then visit us online at hcjb.org.
Hey, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Today we're talking to author Shanti Feldhahn, and she has written a book called The Life Ready Woman, Thriving in a Do-It-All World. And we've just been having a great conversation about some of the challenges and opportunities that women have here in the 21st century. And what is God's plan along with that as well? And do we have to not do some things in order to do other things? Do we have to neglect career, neglect family, neglect kids, or can we actually have it all in due time? So we've been having a great talk here. Thanks for answering all those questions, Shanti. I'm going to throw one more at you because poor Gloria has been waiting for a long time from Duluth. And Gloria, are you still there?
I am.
Awesome. Thank you so much for hanging with us. I'd love for you to ask Shanti your question.
Thank you. Thank you for your ministry, Shanti.
Yeah,
most of my life, I've adhered to those core callings, as you explained. But now we're in that generation where now we're the guilty grandma. And so my husband and I are co-entrepreneurs. We're very busy, busy people. And now that we're empty nesters, we think that we can, you know, we're in that different season of our life. But I'm having this issue where today a lot of grandmas are taking care of their grandchildren. And I'm thinking, am I supposed to be doing that? So So do those core callings, do those apply to, you know, our generation where now we're the grandmother? Do we put the grandchildren first? So I have I carry a lot of guilt over that. And so I was wondering if maybe, I don't mean to put you on the spot with another generation, but I was wondering if you could just speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I actually don't see anything in Scripture that says that the core callings go away at a certain age. I mean, that's the whole beautiful thing about seasons of life, though, is that they just look different. You know, I'm sure when you were raising your kids, it was much more hands-on every day, invested in your kids' lives. And now that you are a grandma, you're certainly probably invested in your kids and your grandkids, but it just probably looks a little bit different. And that's still fulfilling that be fruitful and multiply calling. It didn't go away. It just looks different. And now you have this opportunity with your husband to be out there in the world making a difference and running your business and hopefully being Jesus in the marketplace and, you know, doing whatever it is that you do. And at the same time you're doing that, you have this great opportunity to be cleaving to your husband every day as you work together. And so you see what I mean? Those core callings, they don't go away. Our feminine callings don't go away. The personal callings don't go away. It's just that it will look different in the different seasons of life. You have a fantastic opportunity in your current season of life to do things that, for example, a young mom just can't do or certainly can't do as easily. I mean, I know when I was a young mom, there were things that I had to turn down a lot of other things that I would have loved to do in my ministry, but in order to be present with them when they were little bitty, that was so critical. And now that my kids are coming up on the teenage years, that's probably going to come around again, where I know they need me really there and really invested and very emotionally available during those years, and it's going to be gone all too soon.
Thanks for your question, Gloria. Shanti, I mentioned before the break that I wanted to get in. I think we still have a little bit of time. If you could talk a little bit about what you called compassed guided living and just having a compass and using that to help you make decisions. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's basically what we've been talking about is basically looking to the Bible for everything. And I realize that there's an analogy here with using a compass, because when you're kind of lost in the woods, this has happened to me before. You know how you get lost? I don't know if this has ever happened to you, where you've literally been lost in an area, not like in a car, but in the woods or someplace where you physically don't know which direction to go. Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of scary. Like you and your feelings aren't trustworthy. Like I've been in a situation where I used to work out in Colorado in the Rockies, and I've been in a situation where I was absolutely sure that the correct way to go to get back to this area of civilization was downhill to the right. Like that was what my feelings were telling me. I was absolutely sure, but the compass was telling me that it was uphill and to the left. And which do you go for? You know, which do you listen to? Do you listen to your feelings or do you listen to what the compass is telling you? And if you're smart, you'll ignore your feelings and you'll listen to what the compass is telling you. And that is really what it's like when we're looking to the Word of God, is absolutely realize that sometimes our feelings, our desires can be tricked, and we absolutely have to look at what God's Word says first, which is why I put such an emphasis on those core callings. God's job description to Adam and Eve, no matter what, it's thou shalt go and do this, and make sure that you're not giving these three short shrift because of all of the other things that are going to be pressing in you, including your desires. So, for example, for me, there was one period where I tell this story in the Bible study, but there was one day that I was out in Colorado. I was doing a radio interview at Focus, and I was about to get snowed in, and because there was like a big blizzard coming up, and I had a girlfriend in the area who said, hey, you know what? It's Saturday tomorrow. They're going to be canceling all the flights. And let's just go up into the mountains, and I've got a 4x4, and we can go ski on, you know, 2 feet of fresh snow. And I'm like, oh, man, I love skiing. That sounds fabulous. You know, it sounds awesome. But I knew even though the airlines were going to be taking volunteers to give up their seats, the next day was Saturday. my kids back in Atlanta had soccer games and all this stuff going on Saturday. And so literally I had to look at my compass. I had to look at what the core calling said. I had to look at seasons of life. This is my season of life with my kids. I'm already gone a little too much. And so I told her, I'm so grateful for that invitation. I would have loved to do that, but I'm going to have to take you up on that in about 10 years.
That leads in very well to a question we just got on the web. It says, will you talk about trusting God with the seasons, with things that you give up now and trust him for later, especially career-wise? Can you speak to that? Because it sounds like you've had many of those experiences.
You absolutely have to trust. And this is the beautiful thing about trusting God is he is good and he wants your best. And that's the thing that I have had to discover, because it is so easy as a modern woman to want to hold on to everything. I mean, to really, and this is honestly, this is the Adam and Eve thing. What was Eve's biggest trouble? What did the enemy use? What did the serpent use to get her? He whispered in her ear, you're missing something, right? He gave her this feeling that she was going to give up something. And so God had said, you can have any tree in the whole garden, just not this one. And so what did she do? She obsesses over this one thing she's missing rather than focusing on all these amazing things that she could have. And we are so prone to doing that as women. That's one of our sinful tendencies as women. And so that's what we're trying to overcome in this book, in this Bible study, is realizing that if we will trust God and if we will focus on all these amazing things we can have, not just the ones that we're choosing to set aside for the moment, I mean, God really does want good for us, and it really will work out better in the end if we do it in his time.
Excellent advice. And if you are just liking this conversation, you want to learn more, maybe talk about these things with people who you know a little more closely, you can check out Shanti's Bible study. She has a small group video series on this book, right? Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, it's called The Life Ready Woman, Thriving in a Do-It-All World. And it's just so much fun. It's 8 sessions, and we had so much fun putting it together, but it's really funny, but it's really serious at points. And it really does help every woman understand that whole idea of not just the core callings and not just the feminine callings, but what does this mean for me? How do I narrow it down to that personal callings, to my individual point of where I will find God's best for me?
Excellent. So you can check that out. They can go online to Shanti.com, I'm guessing, if they want to check that out.
Yeah, if they want to check that out, they can go to Shanti.com or go straight to the URL, the website for the whole Life Ready line, which is lifeready.com. And there's actually 5 or 6 Bible studies listed there, and Life Ready Woman is one of them. And there's a whole like little video of me explaining it and, you know, first session download, because I know a lot of people like to do that before they get it. So I hope it's a blessing to folks.
Well, you have been a blessing today. We've loved having you on the show. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your research with all of us who are wondering, how in the world do we make choices in this cornucopia of choices that we have? Join us again on Connecting Faith and check out Shanti's book, The Life Ready Woman, Thriving in a Do-It-All World. Have a blessed day.